Welcome everyone to the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast. This is SmackDown audio review for the SmackDown that aired December 16th, 2011. My name is Chris Shore, and usually these audio reviews are members only, giving you guys a little taste heading into the TLC pay-per-view. Jason Powell and I will be around on Sunday for double coverage of the TLC WWE pay-per-view, and we'll be hooking up after the show to do another audio review of that show, and that will be members only. So if you like what you hear today, and if you'd like to take a listen to that show on Sunday night, plus have access to all the audio reviews we do each week, we do WWE Raw, TNA Impact Wrestling on Thursdays, WWE SmackDown. Usually I'm joined by Jake Barnett for these SmackDown reviews. He's not available today, so I'm flying solo on this one. But we also have plenty of other audio that we do each week. Jake and .NET contributor Will Pruitt get together every Wednesday to do the .NET Countdown, where they talk about the top and bottom things in all of professional wrestling. And, of course, every Thursday, Jason Powell and I get together to do .NET Weekly, our flagship audio show, where we run through the news of the week and oftentimes have first-run news not even available on the site yet. So if you're interested in getting access to all that audio, plus all the interviews, I just recently did one with Bobby Lashley that's available for our members. Jason recently did one with Sean Daivari. And so there's those interviews, many, many other interviews on the site as well. Everything there and all the archives available to you. Plus, you get access to the .NET members forum, the .NET members blog site, and, of course, the big thing, having access to the ad-free version of the site for TLC and everything else that we put up for you guys, access to our first-run news lots of times. If you would like access to all of those things, all you need to do, head over to ProWrestling.net. Look on the right-hand side of the page for the member sign-up page. Click there, and we can get you started. $7.50 a month if you take the monthly option. Take $2 off each month if you take the annual option. Knocks it down to $5.50 for you. And it could be a good Christmas present if you have, if you have someone that's a wrestling fan that you want to buy for, or if maybe you want to go to someone who's looking to buy you something for Christmas and say, hey, a .NET annual membership might be a good way to go. So all the information there on ProWrestling.net on the right-hand side of the page. Take you to click on that, and you'll get everything you need. So let's jump into the show. This was recorded here in my home state. It was recorded on December the 13th in Raleigh, North Carolina. Was not able to make the show, and I guess I'm not too upset about that. It's a go-home show. It's the last chance they have to hype TLC, and as is most of as is generally the case with SmackDown, when they have an opportunity to hype a pay-per-view, they really didn't do a great job of it. We had they talked about the card one time, that some of the matches were set up to hype it. The only good hype you had for it was you had Cody Rhodes at the beginning, you had Mark Henry midway through. The main event was a fun match, but I don't know how much it really hyped those matches. They did do a couple of things with stories, but nothing really major, nothing newsworthy certainly at all. It was kind of a sleepy show. In the middle of the show, it dragged really bad, I thought, because we had some undercard stuff that, A, nobody really cares about, and B, they did such a poor job of booking, they told people to care even less than they already do, if it's even possible. So not a great show, certainly, from hype standpoint for TLC. It dragged for me. I've always said that you can tell how good a show is by how quickly when I look down at the clock and go, oh, really? All I got left this much time? And that wasn't the case. I kept looking at the clock going, is this show going to be over? Is this show going to be over? There was nothing bad, nothing you can really, hang your hat on as being terrible, but certainly not an exciting show, not a newsworthy show. And one that if you didn't get a chance to see, there's no reason for you to go out of your way to see anything. There were some nice moments, but nothing that I really am sitting here thinking about going, oh, God, you have to go out of your way to see that. We'll go through the good and the bad. We opened up, standard opening. Michael Cole and Josh Matthews welcomed us to SmackDown. No Booker T on the headsets just yet. They cut straight to the ring where Josh Matthews was, and he introduced Booker T, who came out to, no surprise, a very good pop. Booker stood in the ring, and Josh Matthews asked him if he was ready to face Cody Rhodes. And just real quick, as part of the question, he mentioned that, due to some of the things that we saw on Tribute to the Troops, easy for me to say, I just quickly want to throw out what a shame it is that they use Tribute for the Troops in storylines. I just want that to kind of stand alone and be its own thing. You go out there, you wrestle, you do some silly stuff. You do some fun stuff. You know, if you take it out of the storyline universe, then I think whatever you do there can be forgiven. It can be ignored in reference to everything else, so a guy can get squashed in 10 seconds. Mark Henry's loss doesn't mean anything if it happens outside of the storylines of what's been going on. So that's kind of frustrating, but I just wanted to kind of throw that in there. Booker said he was more than ready to fight Cody Rhodes. Said he didn't want to, but Cody was the guy that was picking a fight with him, and he had to be a man and stand up for himself. He said what it came down to was that Cody needed someone to legitimize himself, and that he was the guy that Cody had picked, but he'd be damned if he was going to let Cody legitimize himself using him. He said that he was going to end that attempt by Cody at the pay-per-view and would leave as the Intercontinental Champion. Josh Matthews asked him if he won the Intercontinental Championship, would he return to full-time, would he return to full-time in ring? Booker said that he hadn't thought about that, but that he would cross that bridge when he came to it, and that was kind of doing some foreshadowing there, I think. Not that he's necessarily returning full-time, but for what happened later in the show, or a little bit later in the first match as it ended up being. Booker started to do his catchphrase, and Cody Rhodes' music cut him off perfectly. That was timed very well. Cody came out and cut a promo on the way to the ring. He said that Booker had come up with some great fiction, and that if this was a movie, come Sunday, Booker would win the Intercontinental Championship, and Cody would hang his head and go to the back a beaten and humbled man. He said that this wasn't a movie. He called him the announcer. He goes, "This isn't a movie, announcer." Which I think is a very nice thing that he's doing. It's just one of those little things that I think works really well with his character. He said he ran Booker down and said, you know, "You can't beat me. You're broken down. You're washed up." He went through the whole thing. Booker said, "Well, what's stopping me from coming down there and whooping your butt all across the arena right now?" Cody said that he was facing Daniel Bryan, and that the last two times he had faced him, Booker T had interfered. And so he went to Teddy Long, and Teddy agreed that he was going to face Daniel Bryan again, and that if Booker interfered, he would lose his chance, he would lose his shot, he would lose his match, however you want to put it, on Sunday. He would not be able to face Cody Rhodes, and Cody would file a motion to move to have him suspended immediately. So Booker left the ring, or actually, after he said that, he leaned in and said, "Now can you dig that, sucker?" And did his crazy laugh, which I'm not a big fan of, but I thought it worked okay there. I mean, every time he's popped it out, I'm like, oh God, with the laugh. But here, I thought it worked okay. Booker left the ring and we went into our first match, which just real quick to kind of analyze what we had there. I thought it was great stuff from Cody. I really did. I thought Booker gave him a nice foil, to work with, and he played off of that well. This is one of those feuds that could really propel Cody to the very top. Because he's clicking with Booker T right now. Booker T's a pro. He knows what he's doing. He's given Cody plenty of material to work with. They're working well together. So yeah, I was really impressed with both men here. I'm looking forward to this match on Sunday. You know, I don't know what Booker can bring, but I think, it'd be interesting to see. I'm sure he's going to give us an entertaining match. So we know that Cody can work. So I think this could be a fun match on Sunday, and I wouldn't mind if they're able to carry it on for another month. So far, I'm digging this feud. But we did go straight into our first match at that point. Cody Rhodes defeating Daniel Bryan in 8 minutes and 33 seconds. They went to commercial about 30 seconds into this match, which was kind of frustrating. The end on this came. This was a good match. Bryan was out there working with taped ribs based upon the attack from Mark Henry and the cage match before. That I don't know that carried over as well as they wanted it to, but I guess I appreciate the attempt. Of course, Cody worked the ribs a lot. Daniel Bryan sold a whole lot, and the finish on this came when, let's see, that's right. Cody Bryan was in charge. They had gone to the top. This was actually a very cool move. Something if you've got the time, go check this out, because this is kind of worth seeing. I don't know if you should go out of your way to see it, but yeah, if you got time, check out this, at least the ending of this match is very cool. Cody was on the top rope. Daniel Bryan had caught him up there. Bryan went for a back suplex off the top rope, and in midair, Cody kind of rotated around, and so it ended up almost being like a cross body with both guys falling. Excuse me, cool moment there. Very neat looking move. He got a two count on it. He went for the beautiful disaster kick that Bryan ducked. Brian tried to roll him up at that point. Cody rolled all the way through, snatched him up, and hit Crossroads. Very cool how they got into the finish on that. So, yeah, a decent match. It was an 8-minute match. One of the longer matches on the show tonight. It was a good match. It just felt uninspired to some degree. Like you said, we've seen him, three times now. You didn't expect Booker T to interfere. You just knew Cody was going to go over, so there was no real drama in the match. But some nice things to watch there, as far as moves. And again, those guys could have a great title feud, a world title feud somewhere down the road that I think could blow everybody's mind, certainly with what they can do in the ring. Kind of some foreshadowing there. So a good match, but not anything. Again, no drama, because we just knew Cody was going to win. There's no reason for him to take the loss to Brian going into that pay-per-view after he just ran down Booker like he did. Went to commercial, second match of the night when we came back. Alicia Fox defeating Natalya in 1:02. This was all Natty until a roll-up. The standard Divas garbage that we've been getting for some time. Post-match, though, Alicia Fox took a microphone. She had pulled out some of Natty's weave, apparently. I don't know if, that was supposed to happen, if it did, or if it wasn't supposed to happen and she was ad-libbing a little bit. If it was supposed to happen, okay. If it wasn't, then, good for her for ad-libbing like that. She has this handful of hair, and she decides to use it. She said she called Natalya fake on the mic and said that Natty's been out there talking about all the Barbies who crying, but she's managed to beat her however many times, and maybe Natty should go in the back and have a good cry. Natalya decided to get back in the ring to kick her butt, because she's a diva of doom. You would think people would be afraid of her or whatever, or you would at least think, being a diva of doom, she could actually beat somebody. But no, that would make too much sense. She gets in the ring, she tries for a kick, Alicia grabs her, clotheslines her or something, I don't remember exactly what it was, and then does her front flip leg drop. She missed, and she ended up hitting her across the bridge of the nose and the forehead in a tough-looking spot. That looked like it didn't feel good at all. So I hope Natty's okay. I hope she doesn't have a black eye after that. But that was really more fireworks than that than there was during the match itself. I'm just so done with the Divas. It's one of those things where when they try, then I'll try to analyze it again. But they don't care. They don't care. And us caring seems just the definition of futility. They don't care. I don't know. It's frustrating. I want more out of the women, but I just don't think we're ever going to get it ever on WWE. We had a video to hype the tribute to the Troop special on NBC. The announce team put it over a little bit more and then set up a video that recapped the Pipe Bomb of the Year award as far as the video that set it up where they showed all the crazy things that were said. They cut backstage to Jack Swagger and Vicky Guerrero. They were talking about his match with Big Show later. Mark Henry walked up and he asked Swagger to hurt Show's ankle like he did the last time they got together. So I want you to hurt him like he hurt me with malice, and that if he did, Swagger would be the first in line for the World Heavyweight Championship shot. He told him, he said, you think about your future. Swagger said he had thought about his future and it didn't include Henry. He said he was going to hurt Big Show, but not for Henry. He was going to do it for himself. He said that as far as his future goes, he already knew what it was. Jack Swagger, World Heavyweight Champion. Henry got mad and stormed off and left Swagger standing there looking proud. I thought it was a pretty good exchange. I thought it was good work from Swagger, I almost wonder if he's not been taking classes. I didn't notice the lisp, the speech impediment, as much as I have in the past, even when he would deny it. I just didn't hear it. Maybe it was choice of words. I don't know. But it was still a little bit there, but it just didn't seem as pronounced as before. So I'm not really sure if he's working on that or if it was just one of those things. But I thought it was good work from him and Henry there. After the commercial, we had the Usos making their entrance, followed by Primo and Epico with our third match of the night. Primo and Epico with Rosa Mendez defeating the Usos at 2:58. I want to throw in something real quick here. I mean, this was, it was a 3-minute match. It was exactly what you expected it was. Rosa distracted Jay, and Primo hit the backcracker for the win. But in my slant afterwards, I said, and now we have all the Mexicans all together. Nice. I am aware, and I've gotten some emails, and yes, I was aware before. If you go back and look, I've talked about, you know, when they first put Primo in Epico with, not Rosa, but with, Unico. I was like, they're, one's Mexican and two are Puerto Ricans. They're kind of forcing these guys together for no reason. And then Rosa, who's been a babyface forever, suddenly gets stuck with this heel team. And the only reason that seems to make any type of sense is because of her Latina heritage. And she's apparently Costa Rican. I knew she was not Mexican. I did not know what her heritage was. I've been told Canadian and Czech also, or she lived in Canada and she's Czech Costa Rican or something. I don't know. But Costa Rica is her Latina heritage. My point was that when you just start throwing people together because of lineage, or not lineage, but because of nationality, I guess you could say, or some sort of common heritage, that's the point. They're Puerto Rican, she's Costa Rican, there's no reason for them to necessarily be together, except for the fact that they're all, you know, there's the Latin influence there, and I can just see somebody in WWE going, we'll just put all the Mexicans together and that'll be fine. I mean, and I'm not describing that to any one person, it just, that's what it seems like when you, I mean, she was a babyface. She's been doing the jump rope gimmick and everything else. She's been a babyface, and now, boom, she's with the heels. She's dressed like a whore for all intents and purposes. To me, it just screamed, let's just put all the Mexicans together, even though I understand they're not all Mexicans. So I hope you guys understand what I was trying to get at there. I failed. It was a complete failure on my part. But that's what I was trying to get at there. After that fourth match of the night, after the commercial, Big Show defeating Jack Swagger with Vicky Guerrero at 5 minutes and 47 seconds. Pretty decent match from these two guys. Swagger's big enough that he can get some stuff out of Show, but not great work. It's pretty much what we would expect from these guys. Show ends up winning with the WMD, the Weapon of Mass Destruction. Henry had come to ringside almost a minute, like the bell rang and Henry's music hit. And he came down to the ring and sat in a metal folding chair at ringside on the ramp side. Watched the entire match, never got involved, never even attempted to distract Show. Best I could, I didn't see anything if it did happen. He just sat there the entire time. Swagger lost and rolled to the floor. Henry stood up, picked up the chair, acted like he was going to go after Show, turned around and whacked Swagger with it. And then just when you thought everything was over from there, he turns around and whacks a cameraman with it who, I assume, was some local wrestler who came in and was able to run a camera for one match and get hit with a chair. So that was a nice moment. The thing with the cameraman was a huge surprise. I didn't expect them to go that route. So nice work there from Henry. I thought it put decent heat on their feud without putting them together, without him having to give up anything to Big Show, which he's given up enough. I do expect Henry to go over at TLC on Sunday and for it to be the blow-off of that feud. So good stuff from them. Expecting more on Sunday. And again, the match was what it was, but I thought the post-match stuff was done very well. After commercial, we were backstage. Randy Orton and Zack Ryder. Randy Orton was getting ready. Zack Ryder walked up, asked him a question. I missed the question, the initial question. And then it was just kind of all downhill from there. Orton was looking at him like he was crazy. Ryder was running around or bouncing around. He did his woo-woo-woo, you know it, gimmick and line and ran out the door, and Orton was just kind of standing there. I mean, I thought it was kind of funny in its awkwardness, and Orton did a good job of not cracking up, even though it looked like he wanted to. But I don't know that it really helped anything. I mean, it was amusing. I'll give him that. But it was one of those wow moments, to say the least. We cut to the ring where Heath Slater was standing in the ring, and Ted DiBiase's music hit. He made his ring entrance while a video showed him with a DiBiase posse party. I assume it was from earlier in the night at Raleigh. He's apparently giving out free things now to get people to show up, souvenirs and whatnot. So if there's a SmackDown coming to you and you can get out there early to be part of the DiBiase posse party, then by God, go out there and get you some free stuff. But that led to our fifth match of the night, Ted DiBiase defeating Heath Slater at 3 minutes and 8 seconds. Slater got in, you know, defense, a lot of defense early, but DiBiase came back right at the last minute, hit Dream Street for the win. Then you have an attack by Jinder Mahal after DiBiase gets the win. And this is where things really start to break down. Slater was in charge for most of that match. It was not a traditional squash match in that, you know, he got in a move or two and then DiBiase ends up with the win. It wasn't a fluke thing, but it was kind of a comeback, get it hooked, last second, Dream Street bang thing. You know, just he wasn't, and it was weird. I mean, obviously that was the plan, but I'm not complaining about that. But when you start to take things as a whole, you begin to realize where some errors were made in the thought process here. So he wins a match kind of in a barely situation. Jinder Mahal comes out and attacks him, beats him up, locks him in the his version of the camel clutch, which DiBiase, I thought, sold fantastically. Teddy Long comes out. His music hits. He starts yelling for Jinder. Jinder breaks the hold. DiBiase is chased out of the ring. And he says that since Jinder wants to compete, he's got somebody with history that he can compete with, and he brings Sheamus out to face Jinder Mahal. We went to commercial during Sheamus' entrance, and the first commercial was that seizure-inducing WWE Network video, which is awful, but that notwithstanding, we come back, and Sheamus and Jinder Mahal are fighting. It was our sixth match of the night. Sheamus wins in 3 minutes and 44 seconds, and pretty much so that was the traditional squash match, with Sheamus just squashing Jinder Mahal. Now, they're building a feud with Jinder and Ted, and what you've just said is that even if Ted goes over big over Mahal, it didn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything because Sheamus squashed him like a bug, and Sheamus isn't even in the world title hunt yet, and just the whole thing about it, It just from start to finish is a bad idea. When you put it all together and you realize what you're telling people Jinder Mahal's weak. If Ted goes on to beat him in their feud, it doesn't matter, which is not going to give him any lift whatsoever, and then they're going to blame Ted for not being able to get over it. It's the silliest crap ever. It's the stupid stuff that WWE does. They set guys up for failure all the time, and it's very, very, very frustrating. And these are two matches that back-to-back, What they did was Mahal's enhancement talent for all intents and purposes now anyway, but they just knocked him even lower on the rung and made whatever feud, anything that Ted DiBiase gets off of beating Jinder Mahal is going to be whatever Ted can get by himself, because WWE has made Mahal as meaningless as humanly possible. After commercial, we had the video that recapped the Slammies and Kane's return. Randy Orton made his entrance. We had another commercial. We had the It Begins video, the same one that aired on Raw Monday night with Control at the end of it, hyping that the woman would lead the way. I'm beginning to have a new idea about this, but I'm not entirely sure I want to give it out just yet. I'm starting to get a feeling about this that maybe I'm probably wrong, but I don't know. I'll keep it to myself for now, and maybe depending on what the one shows on Monday, I might change my mind and put it out, but. It pretty much so acted like it was something that was, you know, forced in, because when it ended, it kind of gave the static thing, and then they came back to the show when the announcers were already talking with Orton in the ring. Everybody finished making their ring entrances for the main event, seventh and final match of the night. Randy Orton and Zack Ryder defeating Wade Barrett and Dolph Ziggler with Vicky Guerrero at 16 minutes and 8 seconds. One thing that I really liked here, Orton did a lot of the work in the middle of the match, where he was able to get a hot tag to Zack Ryder. Ryder came in. The place got really hot for all of his moves. I mean, he's over. I don't know how over he's going to be able to stay once he gets that championship and has to defend it. It might be a short run for him, but right now he's gotten himself over. And look, if for no other reason than the fact that he literally got himself over all by himself. All by himself. He put out a stupid but hilarious web show on YouTube that just caught fire, and you know, Cena and Punk and all these guys thought it was great, and they got in Vince's ear and said, give the kid a chance, and Vince finally listened. He flat got himself over. I mean, yes, Cena and those guys went to bat for him, but you know, they were able to say, look at this show, look, it's funny. They had evidence. It wasn't just, hey, I'm over here trying to use he's my buddy, and so I'm trying to help get him over because I've got the inside track. I mean, those guys were, I mean, that was probably some truth, but they were also able to go, but look, it's not just, he's my buddy. Look, he's talented, he's funny. Give this character a chance, let him see what he can do. And I just have complete respect for a guy who can go into a place like WWE and be buried for all intents and purposes like he was, and get himself over. I stand and applaud that. No matter what happens, I stand and applaud the fact that he was able to get himself over, because I hated that gimmick, and he managed to win me over in the process, too. So, good stuff. I think good stuff there from him and what he was able to do. And it was nice to see the fans react when he got the hot tag from Orton. He was able to hit the woo-woo-woo kick? Is that what he calls it in the corner, the face wash in the corner? Because he does his woo-woo-woo, or has the crowd do it with him just before he does the kick. So not sure. He went for the Rough Rider leg lariat, but in another very cool spot, Barrett ducked that when he flew over the top of his head, landed in the bad corner. Ziggler punched him in the face, and the heels were able to take control again, which, of course, led to the finish of Randy Orton getting the final hot tag. Coming in and clearing house, you had Ryder clothesline Barrett over the top rope, and then go down there to follow him, but Barrett threw him into the railing. In the process, Ziggler tried to go for Ziggler hooked a dirty roll up, grabbing the tights, but then he kicked Orton, hit the ropes, tried to go for his famouser move, but Orton slid out of the way and hit the RKO for the win as Barrett started to climb in the ring and then stopped at the last second and just watched the pinfall happen. And that was the end of your show with Orton and Barrett staring each other down. They have a table match heading into to TLC. They had the tables out on the ringside there as kind of a reminder of that. But that was the final hype for that match and the end of the show. And, you know, it was a good main event. It's not anything I would say you need to go out of your way to see. If you saw it, I'm sure you enjoyed it. If you didn't see it and you've got time, then, yeah, I mean, it's worth sitting through. But it's, you know, if you don't have the time, no. There's nothing on this show that I would say, ooh, 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 go watch. As good as Cody's stuff was and as good as Henry and Swagger were backstage and then the surprise with the cameraman getting hit with the chair. I mean, all those things were good moments, but it was kind of, you know, you kind of have to be there watching it happen when it happened to get the full impact. Knowing it's going to happen, going back and watching it, I just don't think it's going to be as good. Certainly the Henry stuff. There was some good things on the show again, but not anything that is must-see TV, if you will. And certainly nothing newsworthy. It was just kind of a safe show heading into TLC. I don't really hate them for it, but I got to call it what it is. It's a safe show. I'm not necessarily saying it was the bad idea, but it's not the greatest idea either. It's just kind of weak, and I want a little more fire out of WWE. I want a little more fire out of them and willing to take chances even heading into pay-per-views. And but with the network coming and everything else, everything is just kind of in the uproar a little bit with how things are going to ultimately play out with what's going to be on the network and what's going to be on pay-per-view and, you know, all of those things. So I guess, you know, if I was in the middle of all that upheaval and I was writing for the show, I probably might want to take a safe ride here, too. So, again, it's a forgivable sin, but it's still kind of a sin. That's the way I look at it. But that's your SmackDown audio review for the SmackDown that aired December 16th, 2011. Once again, Jason Powell and I will be back on Sunday for complete coverage of the TLC pay-per-view, headlined by CM Punk versus Alberto Del Rio versus The Miz in the first ever triple threat match for the triple threat TLC match for the WWE Championship. That ought to be good. But there should be some good matches on the show. I think the show's been poorly hyped. It's not going to be a spectacular pay-per-view, but I think there's some good matches on paper on this show. The title match there is obviously very good. I think Mark Henry and Big Show can tell us a good story. I think Wade Barrett and Randy Orton can have a great match. I think Ziggler and Ryder is going to be a fun match to watch. And certainly if they put the title on Ryder, that's going to get that crowd pretty hyped up. I think it can be a good show. Do I expect it to be? I never expect them to be good shows now at this point, because we just, you know, it more often than not, they just, and especially with the way they've safe booked this, I don't feel excited about this show, but I'm hoping they can change my mind Sunday night and put on a very convincing match, and we'll be along with double coverage and have a complete audio review afterwards. And again, that will be members only, so if you'd like to hear that, head on over to ProWrestling.net, click on the right hand side of the page where it says .net member sign up. $5.50 a month if you take the annual option. That's the way to go. Access to all the audio, all the old audio, all the new audio, the ad-free version of the site, the blog section, and the forum section. Head on over there now and get that taken care of just in time for TLC, just in time for Christmas. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I will see you back here again next time for SmackDown Audio. Everyone, have a great weekend. Enjoy your TLC pay-per-view, and take care.